Welcome to the SDA Housing Podcast, brought to you by NDIS Property Australia. Before starting this episode, we need to provide a general disclaimer. Information contained in this podcast is general in nature only. It does not take into account the objectives, financial situation, or needs of any particular person. You need to consider your financial situation and needs before making any decisions based on the information in this podcast. And you should consider seeking independent and professional advice for your personal circumstances. All right, let's begin.
Hello everybody, my name is Min and I'm your host for today from NDIS Property Australia here in Sydney today at the Sydney Disability Expo. And you're listening to the SDA Housing Podcast, a show that explains, highlights, guides and brings awareness about all things SDA in this ever-changing NDIS world. Today's topic is MHA Design, a special guest speaker, Tina
Quadrastami,
who used to be known as Salami when she was a younger child in school.
A lot of trauma there.
Yes, but welcome today. You're joining us today to talk about your company and what you do.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you.
How are you finding the expo at the moment?
The expo is great. We've got a lot of different booths here. I've met a lot of new people, made some really good connections, which is always great.
Yes.
The more people we could reach out to, the better it is.
Mm-hmm.
So excited, yeah.
Is this your first time at an expo?
No, I've come here a few times now.
Oh, nice. You're a veteran.
Yeah. What about yourself?
First time to a Sydney expo.
Okay.
Yeah. I went to the Gold Coast one, Townsville one, Melbourne one, Brisbane one recently. I'm going to the Perth one coming up soon. The Sydney one again in August. Coming up.
Oh, that's right, because you're from up north.
Brisbane, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me more about, tell our listeners more about who you are. Yeah. MHA Design, what do you guys do?
Well, I'm an architectural project manager. Reason why I started MH Design was because I was working on a field in the disability sector. I was working with some youth, and I noticed over the year or two that I was working there, I noticed that there's a lot of gaps in the industry from a design perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, within the living space, within the living environment, at home, it's not supportive enough for our mental health disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So, as we all know, behaviors are directly impacted by our surrounding environment.
Mm-hmm.
So, it just shocked me that we don't have any regulations or policies in place to ensure builders and designers are actually paying attention to how they can be supporting mm-hmm. a resident within the space. So I thought, you know, I could do this. I've got a background in architecture and now on-field experience, and I opened up MHA Design.
So MHA Design is specifically all about SDA?
Yeah, so, well, it stands for Mental Health Architectural Design.
Mm-hmm.
I have been designing and constructing SDA homes for the last 2 to 3 years now. But I'm also working on the side with MHA to introduce a few more policies.
Yes.
So these policies will be, you know, regarding what else we can do within the living space at home, from a design perspective, just so that we can pay more attention to our neurodivergent residents.
Mm.
And hopefully I'll be working a bit closely with Jerome Laxalt, who's, you know, one of the MPs for RIDE, and hopefully in a few weeks Bill Shorten as well, to really go through these policies and see what we can do with them.
So is Bill Shorten locked in for a catch up here?
Yeah.
What day? What time?
Oh, well, you know. Let's keep our fingers crossed.
Okay. So how many projects have you actually been a part of for SDA and completed versus how many you're working on now? And what are you working on now?
So I have designed and completed 3 high mobility SDA homes. At the moment, I'm working on 2 projects for SDA. One of them is a robust SDA out in Ruby Hills.
Ruby Hills, yes.
Yeah. And the 5th one is a massive complex out in Wollongong.
Oh.
And for that one, I'm hoping to actually, you know, create more so of a community.
Tell me more about the Wollongong site project.
Yeah.
The process, what's happening there?
So that's in Dupto. Large amount of land. It's beautiful, got a great view. You're, you know, in the heart of nature, which is so important.
How big is the block?
Roughly. It's about maybe 2,000.
Yeah.
2,000 square meters, roughly.
You're building a double story.
Yeah. So the slope is pretty gnarly. So one of the buildings would be double story, mm-hmm. and then the other ones will be single story. The double story will be robust, and the single story will be high mobility. The reason why I'm attempting to combine...
You call it home high mobility?
Yeah.
That's a new term. I haven't heard that before.
Yeah, so within the SDA categories, mm-hmm. so the ones
so
that...
So we call it... Just want to clarify so our listeners understand.
Mm.
Is high mobility the same as high physical support? Is that...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I refer... It's just easier.
Oh, okay.
It's such a mouthful.
So, listeners, that's just a lazy person saying...
Well, you know, you got to work smart. Okay. Yep. Not hard.
High mobility, also known as HPS. Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
Sorry. The reason why I do want to combine the different uses is because I really believe within a community, residents are able to support each other also.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer just about the space and the staff. It's also now about the residents themselves.
Yes.
And, you know, you're really helping them from a capacity building aspect.
So how many participants in each of these?
So within the robust one, that's two stories. There'll be 5 bedrooms on each level.
Wow.
Yeah. And for high physical support, they will be about 2 to 3 bedrooms and a single story. And there's 2 buildings, so 6.
So 2 or 3 and a low set HPS and then 10 over there.
Yeah.
Our listeners might question or wonder, is it ideal or appropriate to have so many in one building, being 10 robust?
Yeah, I mean, the way I've designed it, I've made sure that there are at least 2 breakout zones on each level.
Mm-hmm.
I've also made sure that, well, most of my designs, they all have this in common.
Mm-hmm.
Every bedroom has, you know, it's very self-contained within mm-hmm. the room itself.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got your own little kitchenette, you've got your own bathroom. You do need to go outside to within the living space to, you know, have the lounge, access to the lounge.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have that space for yourself within the home, separate from everyone else. Also, I've allowed for different partitions within the space so that the space is adaptable. Just to make sure that, you know, if we're having some difficulties with client matching, we can close off certain sections. And so every level does feature 2 kitchens to allow for that change.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why I wanted to see if we could have like such a dense, so many people living in this space, is because of that community.
Mm.
So capacity building, as we all know, is something that's been designed by neurotypicals.
Mm.
And in my opinion, when you're working to support neurodivergent people, you need to let them make some of the choices because they know best. Placing them in such a dense area, dense community, you're almost promoting interaction.
Mm.
Within that interaction, you're allowing them to communicate and express their wants and needs within their own ways, and you're building up their confidence. From a capacity building perspective, you're really giving them all the tools they need to make the most out of it. You know, I'm also making sure the regulations are there and
yes.
we're paying attention to the distances and spacing.
How many OOA rooms are there?
So within the robust, there will be 1 staff room on each level.
Mm-hmm.
And within the high physical support, there will be 1 in each building.
So 1 OOA in each level.
Mm.
That doesn't necessarily mean there'll only be 2 carers. There could be more carers on site at the same time. Yeah.
So similar with the OOA rooms, they're also self-sufficient.
Mm.
You know, it also allows for staff to, you know, have their office area, their sleeping area, their little small kitchenette.
Mm-hmm.
I've also allowed for almost a safe room within the robust building.
Yep.
Just because, like, you know, like I said, I did work on field, so there's a lot of things that I noticed that aren't, at the moment, within the SDA regulations that are necessary for staff.
For the benefit of our listeners, the safe room is for staff or for participants?
So the breakout room is for participants and the safe room is for staff.
Yes.
So when we have, you know, our future residents...
So 2 safe rooms?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep, yep.
So whenever we're, you know, within a robust setting, if we're having a bit of a, you know, we're having some difficulty with aggression with some of our residents,
mm-hmm.
it's important for the staff to have a room to go into
mm.
where they could call for help. they're also keeping the residents safe by doing this. You know, no one's further provoked. People can have that space to de-escalate. The breakout room is very important for the residents themselves because it's more of a proactive approach rather than a reactive approach. The way I work with breakout rooms isn't by just creating a room and calling it a breakout room. I'm also incorporated within the living space, the bedroom, also outdoor within the landscaping. And I like to give the tools back to the residents once more by creating these little partitions with curtains so that the residents can create their own break rooms when need be. With, you know, each one of them has different requirements with sizing, with lights, with, you know, different sensory needs. So they need to be able to create their own spaces so that they can de-escalate in a way that works best for them.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Have you engaged a provider for this project?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
And they specialize in mental health, I assume, or?
So it's actually Sunny Day.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who is Sunny Day Carers?
Sunny Day Carers, they are one of the first NDIS providers. They started up about 7 years ago. Currently, they've got about, off the top of my head, 250 participants.
Yes.
And, it, you know, they've got a subcategory of participants which fall under Aussie Youth Care. And so altogether, Sunny Day Carers is currently looking after residents ranging from the age of 5 to 65. And they all range within their disabilities as well.
Yes.
So there's a great range there. We've got a few people that have, you know, come out of jail currently, who are looking to get back into the community. We have a few kids that are just struggling with being at home with their parents.
So those children would have SDA funding as well?
At the moment, no. I'm only working for adults. With children, it's a lot more difficult with SDA. I would love to in the future. I absolutely adore kids. but at the moment, it's just adults,
When's completion on this project?
Dapto is at concept design stage at the moment. As you can imagine, it's a big project. And as we all know right now, we're very limited in supplies in Australia and also trade. So as we are low on materials and trade, we're just focusing on Ruby Hills to finish at the moment before we get Dapto up and running.
You need to lodge your DA as well?
Yes.
BA?
Yeah.
Construction. So how, a year and a half, 2 years?
Well, usually I go with a CDC. Dapto will be DA, it's just a big job. But Ruby Hills, for example, CDC takes a month, and then once we get that, the design stage previous to the CDC takes me about 2-3 weeks max.
Yes, yes.
So once we get the CDC, we're good to get started, and it takes us about 6 to 7 months for completion.
Cool.
Yeah, we've got our own team, so we work well together.
Very impressed.
Oh, I'm glad.
Any advice that you would give to any incoming developer or investor who wants to do bigger scale projects like this? Any advice that you give, having learned what you've learned the last few years?
I think the most important thing for me is for builders, architects, everyone in the building industry to just realize these buildings are more than houses. They're more of a support system. And they can make or break someone's growth. And so if you look at it from that perspective, it's a lot more responsibility. And I truly do hope over time people pay a bit more attention to that aspect of it.
Out of curiosity, what is the build cost per square meter for a robust building like this and a HBS one? Because we haven't seen many SDA projects or builds coming out of the ground in New South Wales the last 2 years because it's the cost of structures too much and also land. But any indication from you?
So HBS, I would say about 1,800. Yeah. Robust, I would say.
Surely not.
Robust, I would say, you know, much less, probably about 900. But.
Wait. I'm confused here, Tina. I must apologise. We're in the middle of the expo here, and everyone's walking by and running and screaming and noise and everything. But I want to ask you a question, Tina. Mm. Around Australia, we see that the prices of HPS builds for low sets are around about 2,500 a square metre is an average. Robust is between 2,200 a square metre to 2,800 a square metre. Mm. That's what we're seeing. Obviously, a double stories are more expensive normally. Mm. So I'm a little bit surprised that you're saying 900 square meter. I can't calculate that in my head.
I think there's a few things that come into play with that. So like I said, I've got my own team.
Yes.
And we started out 2-3 years ago.
Mm.
So our first project cost much more than that, definitely. Mm-hmm. But after that, once we learned all we needed to learn,
yes.
we were able to bring the price down, honestly. Mm. It is a little bit of a surprise to people, but I mean, I have been in the industry, the building industry, for about 7-8 years mm-hmm. now, and I have worked with a lot of massive firms. Over that time, we've created a lot of connections.
Mm-hmm.
Having these connections helps you with supplies and materials.
Mm.
This comes into play within your cost. There's also a lot of additional costs that we don't take into consideration because mm-hmm. we'd like to just get the project finished.
Yes.
So, you know, we are very competitive with our price. I am aware of
mm-hmm,
that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is. That is how much it is for us.
Well, good for you. I was going to ask you your point of difference, but obviously those numbers there, you are definitely different in your pricing, so it's very good.
Mm. Mm. I'll let you know how Dupto goes, though. I know that one will be much more pricey.
Double?
Dupto with the double, yeah.
Yeah. What is the size and square meterage of the floor plans for the two buildings?
Oh, I couldn't give it to you right now off the top of my head, to be honest.
10 bedrooms, that's quite a large dwelling.
It is pretty large. But like I said, I've taken the building down.
500 square, I'm bringing 400-500 square.
Yeah,
it's massive.
Definitely, yeah. Mm. Definitely. It is massive. But, you know, it's also, for me, the actual structural elements themselves, that's another factor that I'm paying attention to with MHA design. Because working with rigid lines, as some of you guys might know, isn't that supportive for people that struggle with mental health. So I work a lot with rounded spaces.
Mm.
And I understand from a development perspective, that's not the greatest because you're not getting, you know, as much of the space as you would like to have. But, you know, this is, like I said, going back to what I said before about responsibility.
Yep.
We do have a responsibility here to make sure these spaces are much more than buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And more about the support of the residents living within them.
Did you not consider, rather than doing a double-story house for 10 residents of a robust, maybe a villa-style design, low sets only?
Or? This is a villa-style design.
But it's double-story, though.
But it's double-story, yeah. I think also demand, we've got to pay attention to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a high demand at the moment in Wollongong for a lot of residents.
Mm.
I've got so many people calling me from hospitals saying, you know, we've got so-and-so stuck in a bed for over a year now.
Wow.
They're just so desperate for a home. It's just not a way to live your life. You should not be stuck in hospital for a year and not be able to engage within the community just because there's no appropriate housing out there for you. It's not okay.
Is there much land out there in Wollongong?
Yeah.
So there's a big demand, there's lots of land, then why is there no more...
That's a good question.
Why is there no supply coming out?
It's a good question, Min. I think, of course, with that land, if I came in and created a luxury house,
mm-hmm.
I would be... potentially maybe looking into producing a lot more money for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one reason why. Another reason is not many people know about SDA within the general public. Unless you're in the disability sector, it's not many people know about it yet. So that could be another reason.
So what's a block of land cost in Wollongong?
The actual land price...
600-700 square metres? What's...
I'm trying to see if I can remember it. The client did tell me.
Surely 900 grand? Would that be the price?
I think it was about 1.1.
for block of land.
Yeah.
Wow.
This one, it's got a beautiful
for view. Your land. Yeah. The one you're looking at.
Yeah.
What about other blocks in the area?
I don't want to give you an inaccurate number because I'm not that familiar with Wollongong in terms of pricing.
Okay.
Obviously, I don't have that much money to be buying land. I wish I did. I'd be making all of these SDA.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, maybe we can help. I mean, we have a lot of investors and we get about 30 or 40 inquiries a week ourselves. And it's hard trying to find stock in locations. Now that we know that there's a big demand in Wollongong and a cheap builder in Wollongong, right?
I wouldn't say cheap. I would say efficient.
So all our listeners out there, please contact Tina, please.
I might just finish this off by saying I'm also working on a document at the moment. Mm-hmm. And within this document, I'm introducing all these policies that I've done so much research on and I'm working closely with members of the parliament on.
Yes.
So once it is out there and it's fully published, I would love to share it all with you.
Yes.
In hope that we can all pay a little bit more attention to what we're doing.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if people want to contact yourself as an architect.
Architectural project manager.
Oh, what a mouthful. So can people contact you for design and support and advice?
Of course they can. Yeah? I'm located in Top Ryde. On Church Street, which is where all the Persians are, so I'm easy to find.
28 Church Street, Ryde, R-Y-D-E, New South Wales.
Yeah.
Website is www.mhaccessdesign.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'm also on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook.
Can't miss her, everybody.
Can I what, sorry?
Can't miss her, everybody.
No, she's you can't
she's,
miss
she's all online.
I'm everywhere.
So, before we finish off...
Thank you so much for this chance to have a chat with you and
not at all.
Get the word out there. Hopefully we can help each other out.
We will. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you are subscribed and following us so you can keep in the loop with all of our upcoming episodes. We would really appreciate it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a written review, and to share this podcast with those that could benefit. Until next time, catch you on the next episode.